I am continuing this series. It has been a few weeks since I have talked about it, but I'm coming back to it today. Today and next week, we'll kind of put a close on this. And today is a really big talk for me. And I'll tell you why it's a big talk. It's about truth. And the way to explain truth for me, and so you can kind of understand what I want to get to today, is I want to go back to this one evening when I was 19 years old. So a long time ago for me. I was 19 years old, and my mother asked me to come sit at the kitchen table, her and my dad's kitchen table. And I can see the scene, I can see it. My dad was in some sort of meeting, he worked with the church, and they were in a meeting in another room, and there was the kitchen table, and I came in, and my mom asked me to sit down. And as I sat down, I saw an open Bible. Never a good thing. There was an open Bible. I was like, oh, geez. Okay. So I'm going to remind you, I was 19 years old. I do not want to sit on whatever night this was and look at a Bible verse with my mom. I don't. I have no interest. I have things to do. I have people to see. I was in school. I had all sorts of things happening. She asked me to sit down, and she opens to Proverbs 19:11. She says, Michael, this is what the Proverbs said. By the way, if you've never read Proverbs, it's such a fantastic reading. If you've never read Proverbs, I would encourage you to read all 31 chapters of Proverbs. Pick, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the back. You can grab one, take it home, call it your own, write your name in it. Take and read Proverbs 1 through 31. If you ever have, by the way, financial problems in your life, if you're in debt or you struggle, you're not sure how to make it, read Proverbs. It's as good of a financial book as, you know, there's like thousands of financial books. Proverbs is a great financial book. It's a great book about wisdom. It's a great book about understanding and guidance with God. So, she opens Proverbs 19:11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. I said, okay. She explained that when you're wise, that you will learn to be patient with others, even people who are difficult. And I looked at my mom, and in my head, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of difficult people, though, Mom. Like, a lot. A lot. None of you people, of course, but out there. And the ultimate goal in Proverbs 19:11 is to let go of the offenses of others and let God's grace take over your life. And I'm like, oof, I don't know why you're telling me this, Mom, but first of all, I don't care. I don't want to hear this. Again, I've got a life to live. I'm young and going. Why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me one of the clearest biblical statements about not being easily offended? And then my mom looked me square in the eye. And if any of you ever knew my mom back then, poof, when she looked you square in the eye, yeah, it was like go time. She was ready to tell you a truth. And she looked me square in the eye and she said, Mike, that's what she calls me, Mike, you have become very unwise in your life because you are far too easily offended. And because you're so easily offended, she told me, you hold grudges. And you don't let them go. And then she said, you better grow in this area in your life, or it will be a problem for the rest of your life. And I sat there and I heard that. And I said, well, now I'm easily offended that you said this to me. And you would think that I would have listened to her and I would be like, oh, wow, Mom, thank you for that truth. No, I was upset. I was upset. I was upset because I didn't want to hear that. I wasn't wanting to listen to her. I didn't care. I was upset because I don't think I was prepared to grow. I hadn't opened myself enough to say, oh, God, you have to come in and you have to do some spiritual surgery in me. I wanted control of my life. I did not want to give it to God. I wasn't ready for it. Now, let me juxtapose that conversation with one I had with my daughter. My daughter, Evelina, was in town just last week. By the way, she'll be here next week, so those of you who care, she'll be in town next week, so she'll be here at church, which I'm always excited about. And I sat with her just this week, And Evelina is not an easily offended person. She's not a judgmental person. She doesn't hold grudges. She's actually kind of great. She's awesome in that way. She's pretty easy to know. I've always liked that part of her. But Evelina has some pretty big blind spots in her life that are causing her problems. And I've been watching from afar the last 12 to 18 months some of the issues in Evelina's life. Now, I'm not going to tell you all of them. And she does not mind that I'm saying this to you. But there were some struggles. And I sat her down. And I didn't just like open a verse and have a 5-minute conversation. I had a 45-minute conversation with Evelina. And I told her some pretty hard truths about where she is at 21 years old. She just turned 21, so roughly the age I was at. Some pretty hard truths about some things that she needs to hear. And I'm not sure who else is going to tell her. So I told her. And it was loving, but it was truth-telling. And I closed by telling her this. And she's just kind of sitting there taking this in. I said, I'm not telling you these things because I don't love you or because I'm mad at you. Far from it. I said, I'm telling you these things because I love you more than words can say. And I looked at her and I waited for her response because it was actually pretty heavy duty. And if you've ever had that kind of conversation with someone you love but you became a truth teller to them, you're like, oof, this took a lot of courage. How are you going to come back at me? And she looked at me and she said, Dad, thank you so much. She said, I would like you to have more of these conversations with me. I need this. She said, it is the best conversation I've had in the last 2 months, and I need this kind of thing continually, and I don't know who else will give it to me. Could you please tell me more of these things? That was a way more mature answer than I gave at her age. I mean, not even close. And I sat there, and I was like, why is that? And I even talked to her a little about that. And here's why. About 2 months ago, Evelina started praying to God and said, God, I want to grow this summer. I want to learn the places in my life that need help. I know that I'm not all that I should be, so God, please work on me. Now, I didn't know that 2 months later I'd be having this conversation with her and it would kind of all go together, but I think that's what happened. Because I guess some people want truth tellers. How about you? Do you want a truth teller? Do you want some people in your life who you're open, who know you, who are wise, who care about you, but they're going to take the courage to tell you things, and you've opened yourself that you can't figure it all out on your own? When I think about truth-telling, you want to know what I actually think about? I think about going to the doctor. If you ever go to the doctor, first thing they do is they take your height and your weight. And I always ask, well, can I take my shoes off first before you do the weight part? Because, you know, I want the shoes on for the height part, shoes off for the weight part. You know, kind of like negotiate. Because many of us would rather lie to ourselves about all sorts of things, whether it's our weight or anything else that cuts a little too close. If I told you today, hey, part of the Eucharist is we're all going to do a little truth-telling. We've got scales all over, and everybody's getting up on the scale, and we're just going to write that number down. Everybody flees. You're all gone. See, we all have a pretty nearly endless ability to justify what we do or say. That's why it's hard to invite a truth teller into our lives. Just like the scale, we're afraid of what we might find out. Yet when Jesus gave us a spiritual scale, he simply said these words. He said, if you'll be my disciple, that's how he begins this, if you want to follow me, if you want to grow, not just come to church and go, I love Jesus, or I'm going to try, or I'm learning about God, I'm going to try to understand what faith means, or I'm going to give some opinions. It's no. I'm not focused on how everybody else isn't growing. I want to grow. See, that's the fundamental thing my mom was telling me. It took me a while, by the way, to figure this out and open myself to that kind of growth. That when you are judging everyone else for their problems, it is a way to escape dealing with your own. But when you're a disciple, you start to know the truth, and the truth is about you, and the truth will set you free. Because if you do not grow, it starts to become a weight. It's heavy. It's hard. Relationships become a little harder. We stop liking ourselves so much and we don't know why. We struggle with all sorts of things. Self-control becomes hard. Addiction can become hard. All sorts of things happen when we don't grow spiritually. And I believe every single one of us needs a few people to tell us the truth about our hearts and our souls. Because you have weak spots, so do I. You have blind spots, so do I. It might be a wise parent, if you have one. It might be a wise mentor. But someone who can be real with us at a deeper and wiser level. Now, this is no new thing. Let me explain this to you. I love these questions. I'm going to put them up there. Charles Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, if you've heard of Methodists, it basically just method. They had a method for how they did church. And one of their methods was you'd come to church and you'd be asked these five questions. Every one of you would have been asked as you came in. Does any sin, inward or outward, have dominion over you, have control over you? And you'd have to answer that. Do you desire to be told your faults? Ready? Spiritual scale. 3, consider, and I like how the exclamation pointed that one. Consider! Do you desire that we should tell you whatever we think, whatever we fear, whatever we hear concerning you? 4, do you desire that in doing this we should come as close as possible, that we should cut to the quick and search your heart to the bottom? Are you open to doing some spiritual surgery on yourself, to getting up on the spiritual scale, whatever it says? And 5, is it your desire and design to be on this, to want to grow, and all other occasions entirely open so as to speak everything that is in your heart without exception, without disguise, without hiding, without pretending, and without reserve? Now, can you imagine what church service would look like if this was the way it was every week? You're all like, I'll get a scale. I'll do my weight. I don't want to have to do that. Jeez. Truth-telling. We're told in 2 Samuel that one year, a year in the life of Israel, the armies of Israel went off to fight. And King David had gotten a bit older than Michelangelo's statue here. This coming from him and Goliath when he was a young man. He'd gotten a bit older, and as he got older, he lost his desire to lead in battles. And so he would start to stay home. And as David got a bit older and he doesn't want to lead the troops any longer, he leaves them in capable hands and he stays home while all the men go out to fight. And then one day David is in his palace and it overlooks all the other homes in the city because that's the way the cities were built. The highest home would overlook all the other homes. And one evening, David gets up from his bed, he walks around on the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful. I pause there, it's kind of interesting. This would have been a very normal thing. This seems weird to us today, of course, but when you are stacked in the way houses were, and you would bathe outside, and there's various reasons why, but you would bathe outside. And so he's in the palace, so he's on the highest level. So he's looking down, and he sees things all the time. So one night, he sees this woman, and she's bathing. And you're like, oh, what would you do in that situation? And it may not be a woman bathing. It may be something else. We all have our vices. We all have the things that we struggle with. And we get some very, very important advice in the New Testament multiple times. You can find it in 1 Corinthians 6. Flee from anything that's evil. Flee from anything that's immoral. Basically, what happens is you see something, and you get that little that little urge, that little need. And you go, oh, I don't want to do this. And the word flee, by the way, is to run the other direction. So what should David have done right there? Just a little tip for all of us. If we want to deal with some spiritual surgery, when we see something we shouldn't be seeing, we go, oof, that's not for me. And we run the other way. David doesn't do that. David does what we can often get ourselves in the habit of doing. David gets curious. And so David sends someone to find out about her. And the servant said, oh, that's Bathsheba, Now, he doesn't need to add the second part, but I think he kind of knew. He's like, that's Bathsheba, just so you know. That is the daughter of Eliam. Someone you know, David. That's his daughter. And this is kind of a little like, dude, think through what you're doing. By the way, this is a little truth-telling happening right now. That's his daughter. Also, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. You know Uriah. He's out on the battlefield right now fighting for you and your palace and all you have. That's his wife. Like, it's just a little bit of truth-telling. It's that little dip my toe into the truth-telling. See what could happen. So what does David do? David sends messengers to get her. She comes back to him, and he slept with her. And then she goes back home. And the woman conceived, and she sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. In addition, by the way, to Proverbs 1 through 31, I'd have you read 2 Samuel 1 through 12. It's the rise of David. We see the rise of this king. Very impressive dude, really. Lots of impressive things. There's a reason that we still talk about him today. There's a reason that we have sculptures all over the world to David. He's a very impressive guy. My middle name is David. My mom named me after him. She wanted me. That was one of her prayers to God. I would like him to be somebody who could change the world, could help people, whatever my mom was hoping for. But there's the dark side of all humans. Doesn't matter how dedicated you are to God. Doesn't matter how much you're like, I'm in, I'm doing the right thing. Things can take us off course, any of us. David gets taken off course, and you're like, oof, that's pretty ugly. That's pretty ugly. Again, read chapters 1 through 12 of 2 Samuel. It's about a fifth of the way in the Bible. So David does what we often do. Instead of repenting, all repenting means is rethink how I'm living, think through what I'm doing right now. Why am I being this way? Why do I have this attitude? Why am I thinking like this? Why did I make that mistake? Instead of repenting, he tries to clean up the mess quickly. You've done this. Try to just clean this up quickly. Get away from it. Oh. He immediately brings home Bathsheba's husband Uriah from the battlefield. Sends for him. Pretty simple. He's like, well, you've been on the battlefield. You'll come home. You'll have sex with your wife. She'll get pregnant. And everything will be fine. It's actually a pretty good plan. Pretty devious. Pretty manipulative. But smart, because smart people often are devious and manipulative when they don't want to get caught. But Uriah, a man of integrity, refuses to sleep inside the house because he wants to be loyal to his soldiers because they can't sleep inside their homes, so he doesn't sleep with his wife. So David has another plan. I mean, he's trying to be smart about it. He tells the soldier, the general of the battle, he said, I'm sending Uriah back to you. I'm sending this husband back to you. I want him on the front lines. Within days, he was killed. He didn't have him killed, but he had him killed. He's killed in battle, and then the next thing we get, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. By the way, they lost the son. David does the easy thing. Instead of dealing with his hardened heart, the thing he knows is wrong, he knows it, he feels it, the Holy Spirit is working in him. You need to change. You need to do things different. You need to handle your life different. He tries to avoid the situation. He tries to control things himself. You'll notice the word Lord is used over and over. It is also used in the New Testament. Why is the word Lord used? Lord simply means that somebody has control over you. When we say we want God to be the Lord of our life, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, what I am saying is, I can't do this myself. In fact, I make a mess of things if I do it myself. Please take more control. Help me with my ego. Help me have more humility. Help me be more teachable. Help me be more open. So God sends David a truth teller, a prophet named Nathan, a truth teller that would get even more honest than that servant had tried to get. Let me tell you something right now. Please hear this. God is consistently sending you truth tellers. He is, constantly. He has people he's trying to put into your life to tell you truths. Now, sometimes we like to go to friends who make us feel good, and they give us opinions. Opinions is not truth-telling. I'm talking about something that is much deeper, much wiser. They are all around you, and it is your choice to listen to real wisdom and insight, to truly grow. So Nathan tells David the story of a rich man who steals a little sheep. He basically says there's this rich guy, he's in the town, and there's this desperately poor man. And what happens is the rich man, he goes and he takes a little sheep that is the only possession, the prized treasure of the poor man. And David hears this, he goes, I cannot believe that's happened. He goes, I'm very upset, I am the king. Let's go get that rich man and deal with him. It's interesting how we all can do this, by the way. Get super fired up about other people being wrong. Super fired up about people being sinful. Super fired up about just how bad they are. How they've wronged you or they've wronged somebody else. I mean, it's just really easy to get mad like that. And forget that we're capable of our own sin, of our own struggles, of our own hardened hearts. As we put judgment on others, what the Bible says is we are at the same time put judgment on ourselves because we're not dealing with our own stuff. What Nathan does next takes courage. He is speaking to the king of Israel, a man who could have him killed. He does not care. He lays out the truth. And he said, oh, you're really upset about this rich man stealing the prized possession of this poor man? And he says to David, you are that man. You are not living right. You need truth tellers in your life. There are people who probably have tried to, and you've pushed them away. God has Nathans all around you if you let him in. And I'll say this, if nobody's really telling you the truth, it's because you have let them all know in various ways you are above growth. You are above anybody else in control of your life. You're in control. The Bible has a word for that, pride. Pride. It's exactly what I was doing with my mom. It's the same thing I do to Diet Day at times. I don't love hearing things wrong with me. None of us do. But you are not above being helped. And people avoid the truth in a lot of ways. Sometimes people avoid the truth by devolving into self-pity. It's actually one of my least favorite things. You know, you tell someone the truth about what's going on, and they go, oh, I know, things are so wrong with me. You're like, that's not actually helpful. That's not you changing. That's actually you just drawing more attention to yourself. That's not growth. Sometimes people avoid the truth by ignoring wisdom. They know real wisdom's coming in, and they head it off real fast. I don't want to hear it. Some people only want people around them that tell them nice things. Every once in a while, I'll have someone just tell me, they're like, yeah, they're mean to me. I'm like, they're mean to you. What does mean mean? And sometimes people are mean, but sometimes when I hear people are mean, I find out, I don't think they're being mean. I think they're telling you a really hard truth because they love you and you just don't want to hear it. And sometimes people avoid the truth by being sarcastic or get angry. Because if you're sarcastic or angry, I stay away from you. I'm afraid of you. So I'm not going to tell you the truth because you're too angry. I encourage you to open yourself to truth tellers. Even right now as I'm speaking, pray about this. Truth tellers at their core are very simple. They are honest. They have integrity with how they live their life. That doesn't mean they're perfect, but you see something different in how they live. You start watching people and you go, oh, something different. By the way, that's why my mom knew she had permission to tell me that. You guys who know my mom, you see her now. My mom was a towering woman at 5'1". Towering. Seriously. She also held her hair kind of high, so she was more like 5'3", 5'4". Towering woman. Respected. She told truth to tons of people. And everybody but I guess her son would listen. But she's done that to me many times in my life. She was honest. She had integrity, brutally honest. Why? Because she loved me enough to talk straight to me. They're trustworthy. They have courage to speak. And this last one's important. They're spiritually wise. They've lived their lives. They have experience. They have insight for you. They see things more clearly than you can see in yourself. This is Nathan. He is David's truth teller in this moment. Now, David has a choice, by the way. He can be easily offended like me at 19, or he can choose to grow like Evelina did this week. And David chooses growth. Nathan tells him the truth, and David's heart, which has grown stony and cold, starts to melt. Does your heart need to melt right now? Do you need to open yourself just a little bit right now? Do you need to be told the truth about some ways you're living? Because David's response is pretty simple. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. His heart melts, and he uses that word Lord again. I've sinned against the person who should be having control of my life because I've taken control and I've made a complete mess of it. I'm not doing what I should be doing. Without Nathans in our lives, we just drift off course. We generally don't intend to make a mess of our lives. We just don't. It just seems to happen that way. But, you know, people don't get married and intend to watch the relationship end up in divorce court. We don't intend to let our ego keep us from real relationships. We don't intend to start working and making money only to later find ourselves in deep debt because of financial decisions. We don't intend to have a hard heart that grows cold. We don't intend to soothe our disappointment in life with things that numb us, alcohol, drugs, or other vices. I don't even think David intended to go up on the top of that palace roof and look over and see this woman. Things just happen. And it's our choice whether to say, I'm Lord of my life, or I'll let you be the Lord of my life. As the worship team comes to lead us, I want to get personal for a moment with you. Who is the Nathan in your life? I hope in some small way I'm that a little bit at times from the front. But there's others. Is there anyone you've not allowed to be a truth teller to you? Do you have a person or two that has love for you, has integrity in how they live, who has experience and wisdom for you? They want to tell you the truth and you don't let them? Have you spent too much time in avoidance and it's starting to cause problems? Now, there are some of you who have opened yourself to truth tellers many times. You've been more like Evelina than me. And my guess is it's been life-changing. It has rocked you to your core, but in a good way. And I encourage you to continue in that practice. But for all of us, let us not avoid the truth, because it comes at the cost of feeling anxious, of being hardened, of being fearful. Respond to God today. Each Sunday we have the Eucharist table available. We do this every Sunday as our touchstone to take it out into the world with us, to take the world, or to take Christ out into our world, to our sphere of influence. Go to the table today. Go and respond to the truths God has for you. Maybe even pray, God, open me to the truth tellers in my life. You've put them there for a reason. When you go, you're going to find bread there in honor of Christ's body that was broken on the cross for you. You are going to find wine or juice if you prefer. That is in honor of Christ's blood that was spilled for you. You will take the bread, you'll dip it into the wine, you'll bring it into your body. But what you are saying is, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to have more control of my life. Help me. As you go, I just leave you with that verse one more time. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let us be a free people at the journey. As we go to the table, if you'll pray with me. God, we come to the table of Eucharist, the table of joy, the table of thanksgiving. It's a place where you are there in abundance for us. But we may need to do some spiritual surgery in our heart before we get to that table. We need to think through if there's some offenses we have not dealt with. Maybe some pride in which we're not allowing ourselves to break it down, and it keeps us. We feel alone. We feel anxious. We're hardened. We don't want to be this way, God. So I pray your Holy Spirit just hovers over this room, hovers over every single person in this room, and opens them to what you can do in their life. God, give us the grace to make things right where we need to. Be the Lord of our lives. Continue to work on us. We now come to the table to meet with you, and it's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.